No fewer than 2,700 companies and foundations from South Africa and abroad, as well as 300,000 ordinary South Africans contributed to the large pile of funding that is in the Solidarity Fund of 3.2 billion rand. 2.7 billion rand of that has been prudently spent by the Solidarity Fund. So we heard from Gloria Serobe, the chair, yesterday in Parliament. Thandi Nzimande is the CEO of the fund and joins me now to help us understand a little bit better about how that money has been spent. Good morning, Thandi. Welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe.
Good morning, Refilwe. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for the work that you do, Thandi, which, as we understand from the update, and we did know even when we were speaking to your predecessor, Nomkhize Mweni, came on a pro bono basis. How have you managed? I think it's about 20 or 30 people that work with you in the, over 200 people from various entities within the Solidarity Fund, all working on a pro bono basis. Is that right?
So that was correct at a point in terms of the numbers of people. So the numbers have come down quite substantially, but everybody is still very much either pro bono or seconded. So that's the basis in which we work.
I see. So Thandi, tell us about how this feat has gone. I mean, it's been less than a year and you've been in the seat now, in the hot seat, for a little over a month. What have been the main priorities in terms of spending that 2.7 billion rand?
Well, the main priority right at the outset was very, very focused on the health response. So getting equipment into the right places and getting PPE for health workers, and that is health workers within the hospitals as well as in the community. Alongside that was the understanding that the humanitarian need was also very high, and so there was a focus on food to the extent that certain people would fall out, for instance, of the DSD support that was given, and people who had been in jobs suddenly, for instance, people who worked at restaurants suddenly could not be earning the money that would allow them to normally get the food that they had. So they were not in the net already. So that's who Solidarity was targeting. Yeah.
And how did you establish which organizations or people to contribute to?
So we pardon?
Was there an earning hurdle, for example?
So we worked with organizations that were already in the communities. So people like the churches, people who were working with youth employment programs, and various NGOs. What we did was we invited specialists who were already active in those areas, and they helped us to identify the right partners in terms of getting on the food side out there. And then on the PPE aspect, we had assistance from Business for South Africa, B4SA, and they had created a portal where there was an open invitation for anybody to register, and there were specific criteria, and they worked with those people then, yeah.
Okay. 280,000 households have been reached and provided with food parcels, according to what you've done. I mean, that's one hell of a feat. How logistically were you able to work through this? Was this corporations you supported?
So it was through partnering with NGOs. So we partnered with four large NGOs who were, again, already active in the food space. So they assisted with distribution and keeping the distribution costs very low. And also in terms of then the last mile, then it was the churches and the NGOs and the community-based organizations, yeah.
It's been interesting to observe the Solidarity Fund. It's such a large collection of money amidst, I suppose, a COVID-19 response effort that has been mired with a great deal of corruption. You've managed to keep the fund incredibly transparent in terms of being able to see who's giving, where the money is going. To what do you attribute this to?
I think it's the fact that we have a very strong board. which values governance, and it values it on an organizational basis, but also on a personal basis. So that personal buy-in gives a different kind of driving to then how governance is structured and then how processes and policies are structured. Obviously, when we started out, there were not really written policies and processes, and that's been sort of being sorted out as we go. However, the practices that were put into place from the get-go were practices that honor transparency and a strong governance approach. So, that was driven from the board.
Right. This is assistance that we'll continue to need into the new year. And as we understand it from the report to Parliament, the fund will continue into 2021. But with the bulk of the money having been spent, I mean, will there be another drive for donations? We see the EFF is right at the top of salary contributions at 15 million rand. Hopefully their pockets are deeper.
Indeed. So a big drive will depend on what the need is perceived to be. So to the extent that we currently still have funds on hand, we would rather make sure that we utilize those funds on hand. However, if we find that those funds on hand are not sufficient for the need that has been addressed, then there would be a very strong fundraising drive. We're still accepting donations, so we're not turning donations away. However, we are not actively fundraising in an aggressive fashion at all. Yeah.
All right. Well, for anyone who's listening, you can go to solidarityfund.co.za if you would like to make a contribution. And of course, no contribution is too small. Just click on the donate button at the top of the page. Tandi Nzimande, all the best with the work that's ahead of you. And thank you very much for joining us this morning. Tandi is the CEO of the Solidarity Fund. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rafi.
All right.